Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome, everyone, to the Off the Air Radio Show, brought to you live every Friday night on the Vibe Radio Network from 10 p.m. to 11 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. From the Gun Room in Speedway, Indiana, I am your host, Aldo Gonzalez, moderator of the modicum, interviewer of the intelligent, and guiler of my guests. This is the place where I talk about anything and everything that interests me and where my guests are mighty, brave, and full of all sorts of useful information that will not make any of us rich, but only provide some entertainment for your Friday nights. No story is off limits. No guest is too big or too small. We may use profanity, so if certain words offend you, here is my apology for that now. We will always attempt to be professional. But in the end, we just want to have fun, laugh, and enjoy each other's strange and curious stories. That being said, make sure you've already gone to the bathroom, that you've got your cup of coffee or cup of tea or soda nearby, that your dog is sleeping soundly at your feet, and that the cat has already been brought inside, because we will take no commercial breaks. It's just going to be me, you, and my guest for the next hour. Welcome, everyone, and thank you so very much for tuning in to my little radio show here. We are the show that understands that no matter how serious life gets, you can still be as stupid as you want to be with us. Tonight's show is brought to you by Clear Choice Restoration, your helping hand when it comes to hail, wind, and storm damage. Most people don't even know that they may indeed have damage to their roofs, gutters, and siding. With all the storms that's hit Indiana this past couple of weeks, Clear Choice is the people you need to call to get the damage fixed. Call Clear Choice Restoration for a free roof inspection and tell them that Al sent you. In Indiana, call 317-358-8630. That's 317-358-8630. Call and schedule for your free inspection today. Well, I am very excited because tonight's special co-host is Samantha Eichelberger. Many of you know her as a paranormal investigator and a part of the ITAR paranormal team. She's also a mother of one, a wife of one, friend of a million, and the favorite child of all of her siblings. Sarah knows what I'm talking about. But to me, she is my secret weapon, my special sauce, my ace in the hole. I like to call her a paranormal artist, but actually it's better to call her just an awesome artist, because she is creating some fantastic works of art for our book, Awaken the Feeders, that should be due out sometime in May. So welcome back, Samantha, to Off the Air. Samantha, oh, you know what I did? I already made my first error of the night. I couldn't get you off of mute fast enough. So welcome, Samantha, to Off the Air.
Oh, hey, thank you for having me back on. I'm always glad to be here.
Now you're back on the air. Good. Well, last time we talked about all of the original work you've been creating for Awaken the Feeders, and I was so giddy I could barely control myself when I saw what you were coming up with. But I hadn't seen much. Actually, I got to take that back. You did show me some a picture today that you were doing. So what tremendous creations have you in store for us?
I have been working on a couple of the characters, and I actually have a really great idea for the cover that I think is just going to – it's going to look amazing, and I can't wait to actually – finish it and be able to show you and everybody. I'm really excited about it.
Every time you show me something new, I can't express to you what happens to me. I look at it, I'm like, oh my God, I've been working on this book for, 7-8 months now, a little bit at a time, you know, and then all, you know, I've been developing these characters and developing the storylines and everything. And then you show me a piece of work that looks like little Lily May, or like today you showed me the evil character that's going to be in the book. And I'm like, oh my gosh, I get so excited. I got a smile from ear to ear when I see that stuff.
Oh, it's been a blast. I'm enjoying every minute of it.
Well, you're going to hang out with us tonight as my co-host, and I couldn't be more excited. But before we get to our special guests, I want to talk briefly about my one weird thing. Tonight's one weird thing is about limestone. It's particularly the limestone capital of the world, which, believe it or not, is in Bedford, Indiana. And I hear just about every paranormal researcher talk about how rocks, and especially limestone, can hold the energy of our dearly departed. And oftentimes it's the reason for a haunting that's going on because of limestone in the area. And I know that across the street from the haunted house that I lived in was a very deep lake that is actually the remnants of an old limestone quarry. And it's hadn't gone unnoticed by me and the spooks that lived in my haunted house with me all those years that I lived there, because maybe that's the reason, or at least one of the reasons, that all that activity occurred at that house. So here I live in the great state of Indiana, and I often talk about how it's probably one of the most haunted states in our entire union. And lo and behold, it's also the home of one of the world's largest limestone quarries. So there's that. And nearby Bedford, Indiana, where the large limestone quarries are at, is a small town called Needmore. I've never heard of it before, maybe 3 days ago when I was doing a little bit of research on limestone. And in Needmore, Indiana, there is an unfinished replica of the Great Pyramid of Giza built out of the very same pure Indiana limestone. And so now they originally planned for the pyramid to reach, you know, a total height of 95 feet, but the project was shut down before they could complete it. And that doesn't mean that the roadside attraction junkie like myself can't just go visit it and bask in the wonder of all that is yet one of Indiana's kookiest little things that make us so awesome. And that's tonight's one weird thing. So tonight's special guests is Tina and Cheryl of the original Parasisters, and I wrote about them in my book, The Feeders at Night. And I met Tina and Cheryl back in 2009 when I was living in a very active haunted house. I talk about it all the time on the show. The house was north of Fort Wayne, Indiana, and after having called four other paranormal teams before I called them to come out and try to help me figure out just what was going on in my house and experiencing what I would call the worst of all paranormal teams out there before the ladies, I was lucky enough to finally get in contact with the Parasisters, Tina and Cheryl and Jackie, and some other members of their team at that time. So they were just awesome. And they were there with me through thick and thin. They did so much that people don't even understand the things that they did to help me out and help my sanity and help my mental capacity while I was there. I was really struggling. So they come out to the house and they interviewed me, and they did a short walkthrough the house, and I showed them the areas where certain things were going on. And they asked me what exactly I'd been experiencing, and they wanted to know, you know, all the details that I could give them. They were very professional, very knowledgeable, very willing to do whatever was needed in order to provide me with the help they felt was best for my situation. And so Tina Hicks Leno is a paranormal researcher with over 15 years of experience in the field, but actually she's been having experiences her whole life. She's an accomplished author and has written about her paranormal life in her book, Living in the Shadows of Paranormal. And so I would encourage you, while we're talking tonight, while the radio show is going on in the background, go ahead and click her website and look at her book and some of the other products that she has there. Her website is TinaHicksLeno.com, T-I-N-A, HICKSLANO.com. Check that out while the show's going on in the background. Cheryl Ferguson is with us tonight as well, and she's a wonderful friend of mine. She's a medium sensitive, and she has over 15 years of experience researching paranormal. Cheryl has an uncanny ability to be able to walk into a location or a house or a room and be able to feel the past energy that's been there, and she can just know who and what's been going on there. So both of these ladies were depicted along with me in TLC's hit show, A Haunting. You can find our episode by looking it up on YouTube or anywhere A Haunting, you know, can be seen. Just look up our episode entitled Fear Feeders. You'll see Tina and Cheryl and Jackie, who couldn't be with us tonight, and myself and my brother Mario. You'll see all of us on there. It was fun. So that being said, it is my pleasure to be able to talk with my mighty friends again. So welcome, Tina. Welcome, Cheryl, to my little radio show.
Hi, Al.
Hi.
I'm glad you ladies were able to come on in short notice. I appreciate everything that you guys have done for me. And just in case you have not met Samantha Eichelberger, but I believe that you have, let me introduce you to her, Samantha, Tina, Cheryl. Tina, Cheryl, Samantha. Samantha's our co-host tonight.
Hello, ladies.
Hi, Sam. Hi, Samantha.
How are you?
Oh, I'm doing great.
Everybody's doing great tonight. So, Tina, Cheryl, we will forever be crazy little house that I lived in north of Fort Wayne, the house that you guys were at. I don't know how many times, how many dozens of times did you guys come out and investigate, or even better yet, just come out and sit with me, you know, come out and listen to me, come out and I don't know if we ever got drunk there or not, but I know sometimes we would go and eat Mexican food before we would go over there and drink. So tell me, out of everything that you experienced at that house, what's the one thing that you'll always remember about the haunting at that house? Tina, you go first.
The one thing I'll always remember about that house is all the crazy things that went on there. So many different things. I mean, I have so many stories about it, but that your house is probably the most active investigation I've ever been on.
Yeah, I tell people I've got a million stories and zero answers to them. Cheryl,
yeah, that's true.
Cheryl, what will you always remember about that dumb house?
I'll remember the very first time I went in there, and it was during the walkthrough. And I walked through, you took me through the house, and I came into the kitchen, and I stopped right by the refrigerator, and I had a feeling of almost like an electric shock going from my feet up my legs to my body, and I said, something happened here. Do you remember that, Al?
Yeah, I do remember. I know exactly what happened at that spot, too. Tell everybody.
Well, I wasn't told anything about the house, any of the activity, nothing. So I knew nothing about the house. But I knew I felt something in that spot, and I was told later on that that is where you saw the little girl materialize, by the side of the refrigerator.
Yep, that's exactly right. It was a strange moment, too, because it was on a Saturday afternoon. So much had already gone on at the house and so many things. I had had so many experiences up to that moment, but I was sitting in a chair watching television on a Saturday afternoon. It was daylight. And, like a flash, boom, like an old camera, like one of those flashes that you would screw into an old camera, like old news reporters had. That's what it looked like. Boom, a flash over to my left, right in front of the refrigerator. And I turned and looked, and there she was, a little girl, wearing a yellow dress with white lace. She had blonde hair and brown eyes. She was standing right in front of the refrigerator and then started to move forward, but she wasn't walking. She was like floating. And I don't know what came over me, but the first thing I wanted to do was jump up and grab her. That's the craziest thing, ain't it? But I leaped out of my chair and was going to grab her. And by the time, you know, she was 10 feet away or so, by the time I got to where she was just gone. Like she was never even there.
Oh, wow. That's so, like, what do you guys think was going on at that house? I mean, from what I understand, there was many different spirits and entities that you guys came into contact with. I mean, do you have any idea why they were there, or what they may have wanted?
Well, you know, for a very long time when we were investigating that house, we just couldn't believe all the different things that were happening. And then one day it just dawned on me, and I realized that Al was the bait, and these feeders were feeding on him. So, yes, lots of different things going on, but when you're a beacon to this type of stuff, then, you know, he was just being overwhelmed with it, don't you believe?
Yeah, I believe he was too. It was, and I think whatever was there was, like Tina said, it's a magnet, and Al is a magnet, and it draws many different kind of entities. I think there was true haunting, there was residual, and there were shadow people, disembodied entities. It seemed like there was a multitude of different things there.
Do y'all think that maybe there was a single entity that was kind of orchestrating everything that was going on at the house, or were they all kind of independently doing whatever they wanted to do, you know, allowing, or that was there that one thing that was allowing the feeding to go on?
You know, that's hard to say. I had entertained that thought before. I mean, we don't know, obviously. None of us would ever know the real answer to that. But, you know, I know that you had one entity there that seemed to hold a lot of power. And everyone saw this entity. And I would like to think that probably he did have most of the power.
I agree with you, Tina. Yeah, he was... He was a predominant force, I believe.
So you guys feel like with all those different spirits that were in the house, there were both good and malevolent spirits that were residing there?
I don't know about good spirits. And malevolent, I don't believe there was anything like demonic, but there was very, very negative. Whatever there was, very, very negative. And it was, it wanted Al. That was my picture. I could just picture them all standing around his bed, just waiting for him. That, in my impression, they wanted Al to be with them.
And see, my thought on that is I thought that they were there feeding on his energy, on the fact that he was depressed and sick. And you got to think about, you know, they need energy to survive in our world. So he was a beacon to it. And I believe that's why most of them were there. But I do believe there were some good spirits there also. There was a time that I was there, I believe that some of his family members were there. And
yeah,
Al,
I
know you remember because I described seeing one of your family members. I described everything he was wearing.
Yeah, that was actually kind of a strange thing because, first off, you don't want to think of your family members, your dearly departed aunts and uncles or mom or dad or whatever, that's still kind of hanging out, you know, and worrying about me or worrying about whatever. But so it was hard for me to take it. I didn't want to believe it, right? But you described one of my uncles to a T, and I remember going and getting a picture and showing you the picture because my mom comes from a very large family, 21 people, 21 brothers and sisters grew up in that family. And I showed you the picture of all of them, and you pointed out one of them right away and said, "That's him. That's him. That's who I saw." I remember that very vividly.
Yeah, and I believe that they were your... Go ahead.
Go ahead. You know, I want to hear what you have to say.
I just believe that they were your army, and they were there to protect you from everything else that was going on.
What other kind of spirits were there, though, besides, you know, I saw the little girl. I think she was a, I don't know. I'm going to ask a question a little bit later about that. But I saw a little girl. We know that there was a little girl that died on the property. So I relate that little girl to the girl who died on the property, the little girl that I saw. And we know that there was a farmhand that died, and we know, you know, so there was some death on the property, right? So there's the human spirits there, and there was the residual, you know, Tina, you I remember sitting on the couch with you as we were timing this residual that was going on in the house, you know, out. And so there's a residual, but we saw other things. You guys saw other things too. You know, what other types of entities were in the house besides the spirit of dead people? What, because it seemed like we saw animals as well. So tell me about all the different types of things that you thought were at the house.
Well, we all definitely saw a crawler at your house. Now, some people might want to say that that's an animal type since they're crawling around on the floor, but we've seen this thing perched up on the top of your windowsills, and it would dart out in front of people, and I think everyone that came there had saw that at one point. I know there was also, and I know it sounds really odd, and we laugh about it, but it almost seemed like there was a bat that would fly around. You would see like it would fly around in the like a bat would. It was odd. Could never figure that one out.
Yeah, it would dart out in front of us like a bat, like you would see a bat flutter, and then but you look and there's nothing there.
Yeah.
Cheryl, what do you think? Do you think there were what other type of entities were at that house?
Well, talking about the shadows, I remember when I was in the what you used as the office. I saw out of the corner of my eye, something slithered along the floor, and it was almost like a mongoose.
Hmm.
That's what I pictured in my mind was a mongoose. And around where your oven was in the kitchen, I can kind of see things in my head a little better than with my eyes. I saw a tall man. I saw a tall, thin man standing there. And I think that was like one of the shadow, what I call is a shadow person.
Is there a difference between a shadow person and that large black mass that I had seen there? Is there a difference between those two things?
You know, it's really hard to tell. Nobody really knows what, for instance, the shadow person is or black mass
or what forms they can take on.
Exactly, because there it might be one thing that's taking different kind of forms. That's the one thing about the paranormal field. There's no way to really prove definitively what a certain specter or whatever what it is.
Yeah, and Al, I want to go back to one thing too. You mentioned that there was residual, and what you failed to mention is that you screamed like a girl whenever you saw it.
No, I did not. Stop it. You have no proof.
Yes, you did, and we had you on tape.
Yeah.
Well, you're going to have to produce the tape because it's not true unless I hear it. No.
I should have brought it along.
No, that's not true at all. I do not scream like a little girl whenever I saw paranormal things in that house.
More than once, too.
Well, I think you were talking about Jackie, because it was Jackie who screamed, not me.
No, it was you, and I think we replayed that tape like 100 times ever since.
No. See, Jackie's not on the show tonight, so I'm going to blame her. It was Jackie that did that. But listen, think of
Actually,
all the crazy
she's the
things.
One who has it.
Well, just think of all the crazy things that went on. I mean, there was a time when I think Cheryl was in one bedroom, and she was laying on the bed, and something was kicking at the bottom of your bed, right, Cheryl?
Yes. That was the strangest thing, too. And I thought to myself, you need to look underneath the bed and see what it is. Because after all, that's supposed to be your job. You're supposed to be an investigator. But I just could not bring myself to do it. But it just, it felt like somebody was laying underneath that bed. And, well, they might have had short legs, but it felt like they were pushing their legs up, pushing the mattress up.
Right. And it happened to me, too. And it was like a child was under the bed, how they crawl under the bed and they put their feet up under the mattress and kick upward. Exactly what it felt like. And it is the strangest thing when you know there's not a child there, you know there's no animal in the room with you. Very, very odd.
Right, and I'm so bad that I did not look under there. I should have made myself do it. Because I usually am not scared, but that was a little freaky.
Yeah, well, it happened to me as well.
That sounds unnerving.
Yeah, it happened to me as well, and that's why I brought it up. But I also brought it up because, Tina, you got this theory or you got this thing that you've talked about a couple of times. I've heard you say it, like, you know, the things that we hear in life, like the monster under the bed or the boogeyman in the closet, they all have a beginning. There's a reason
right.
why that became something, right? So tell people what your theory is on that.
Right, and that's my new book I'm working on now is A Thread of Paranormal Truth, and that's going to come out later this year, but that's what it's based on, is that there's just a shred of truth in everything that you hear. And where is that coming from? I mean, people used to say that the boogeyman was under the bed because it was a scare tactic to make the children go to sleep, but I'm an adult, and I experienced something under the bed. And so mm-hmm. did you, and so did Cheryl, and my daughter when she was at your house.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and then how many other hundreds, if not thousands of people have experienced that same thing? Because you hear that a lot, you know, kicking at the bottom of the bed. And here it is. We're at that freaky, stupid, haunted house, and it's happening to us. So there is a truth to that comment. There's a truth to that statement. It's very interesting. But there was a lot of weird stuff. Obviously, crazy, scary stuff that went on at the house. But I told the world a few weeks ago while I was on the show, while I was on the radio show, that while I was living at that house, I saw a pterodactyl. And I know that it sounds completely crazy on my part, but I just know what I saw. And I remember the morning when it happened. So vividly, so clearly, and I look up and they're flying a thing that was larger than my house, flew over my house and across the street and across the lake, and I just saw it fly away. And Tina, you, at that time, somebody contacted you, some lady, and they said that they were looking for people who had pterodactyl sightings. So what in the world is a pterodactyl doing flying over my house? And who in the world is this lady, and how can I get a hold of her? Because I got a pterodactyl story.
I remember when that happened to you, and I kind of laughed at you. I thought, a pterodactyl, come on now. But I promise you, it was like a month later or so, I did get a contact from a TV show. It's actually a show that's out now. And they were asking me if I knew of anybody that had pterodactyl sightings. I guess there's been some sightings of them in the Ohio area. So they were wondering if we had any in the Indiana region. I did send your story over to them, and I never heard anything back. But I remember calling you and saying, you know, when you saw that pterodactyl, there may be some truth to this. Something's going on.
Yeah. Well, it brings up another question I have. We've got the dusty old woman who lives in a closet. She's like an aunt or whatever, you know, from 1950. And then you get the hauntings from people who've died in car accidents. And then you get hauntings from somebody that's in the 1800s or whatever. But do you think that there's caveman hauntings? Do you think that there's pterodactyl hauntings? Do you think that there are things from thousands and thousands of years ago that can actually be still haunting the earth?
I think there's been, in England, there has been some sightings of Roman soldiers and some of the old, you know, they're Roman, there's a lot of Roman ruins in England, and there's been actual Roman soldiers seen, ghosts of or figures of Roman soldiers. So I don't know how far back it goes, but it's been, I mean, it's been a couple of thousand years since Rome has, Roman soldiers has been in England. So who knows? Mm-hmm. Anything's possible.
Yeah.
I mean, how open do you want, I mean, how far open is your mind? Because I guess you could think that there is, you know?
Yeah,
because,
well, maybe.
The hustle and bustle of this world we live in now, is that energy, you know, is it putting a screen over top of that from a thousand years ago? It's hard to say.
Mm-hmm. So,
well, I mean, right, well, because, oh, sorry, just like the field of the paranormal is not just limited to ghosts and spirits. I mean, you have such a wide variety of creatures and cryptids, and I mean, this wouldn't be that far off from that. Talk about, and this creeps me out because I've had experience with this also, being visited by the black-eyed kids while living at that house.
Right.
What do you know about them and the encounters? Were they actual, you know, the black-eyed kids, or just unreally creepy looking distorted ghosts?
What do you think about that, Cheryl? What do you think, those were actually black-eyed kids that came to my house?
You know, I don't know. It could possibly be. The way they were acting was extremely strange, and I remember that night that it happened, you thought, and that's when they came to the door, and you thought it was us, I believe.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, I think I called.
We wouldn't do a thing like that.
Well, I think I called Tina up and was cussing her out, like, what the fuck are you guys doing to me? You guys trying to scare me? You guys got to stop doing that. I've been running around my house with a loaded gun trying to get people out of my yard. And then I think Tina said, no, well, we're all eating the banditos right now. We're not over there yet.
Yeah, I remember that. Uh-huh. You know, what I think about that, though, is you were a beacon. So I don't know if that's another part of this mystery of paranormal or not, but who's to say that that type of thing was not attracted to you also? Because you had a couple of experiences that way. It is unusual and creepy how it happened, when there was no car in the driveway, but you had people at your door. You live in the middle of nowhere. It's odd. It is something that very possibly could be.
And they picked your house.
Yeah.
Out of the other ones.
Well, just in
but
case.
To be honest
don't...
with you, I'd rather see your ghost than that.
Yeah, me too. Honestly, that was probably one of the most terrifying things that ever happened to me there. And I'll kind of give the short summary of the story in case there's somebody listening that hasn't heard it yet or read about it in the book yet. But, it was one night in October. I was at the house, you know, alone, and I hear a knock on the door, and I go to the door, and there's this beautiful young lady. That's the other part, is all of the stories I hear about black-eyed kids are younger, 7, 8, 9, 10. I think I heard just a couple of nights ago, because I was looking at some things on black-eyed kids, that they've been like low teens, you know, maybe 13,
right.
14. But this lady was... She had to be in her upper teens, maybe 20, I guess. But she come knocking on the door, and I actually smelled her perfume. So that's another strange thing too. And she's there, and she says, "Is Tony here?" And I'm like, "I don't know, no Tony. There's no Tony here." And she's like, "Well, Tony told me there was going to be a party here, and I know this is the house." And I'm like, "Well, there's no Tony. There's no party. I don't know what you're looking for." And eventually, I kind of got irritated by it. And just wanted to end the conversation, so I just said, "Look, dude, I'm sorry, I can't help you out. There's no Tony here." The whole time she was smiling, she looked friendly, she didn't look like a ghost, she didn't have black eyes, but she wanted something from me. She wanted to either be let in, like, oh yeah, come on in, let's make a phone call and find out what's going on, kind of a thing. But I never did that. I ended up closing the door and going back to my room, and probably about 20 seconds later or so, I went back to the front door because something just didn't seem right in my head. Something was wrong. I couldn't put my finger on it, but my brain was like screaming at me, there's something wrong, something's wrong, something's wrong. So I go back to the door and I open it up, and she's just not there. So in the short span of 20 seconds, and I've got a very, very long driveway that goes out to a country road. And so in the span of 20 seconds, she completely disappeared. You would think that I'd still see her walking, or to get in her car even more so. But that was the thing. I don't remember seeing a car, and there was no car driving out or anything like that. So it was unsettling. And then fast forward 1 year, about the same time of year, I'm waiting for you ladies. I'm waiting for Tina and Cheryl and Jackie and to show up, because I've already contacted them. They've come out to the house you've come out a couple of times before then. And this was another night when you guys were going to investigate. So I'm kind of waiting for you guys to arrive. It's, 8:30, it's dark. And knock, 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 knock. There's a knock on the door. This time there are two people. This time there's a young man about the same age as the lady who was there a year prior. There was a young guy, and he was friendly. He looked nice. He was dressed up like he was getting ready to go to a party, and I smelled his cologne. And there was another young lady with him, and she was standing next to him. She had like a hoodie on, and she was looking up at him. While he was talking to me, she was looking at him. And he's like, yeah, it's Tony here. We're supposed to meet Tony for a party. And it immediately clicked my head. I just like, what the fuck are you guys doing to me? I'm like scared, because I know that they're up to something. And it's exactly like what happened a year before. And I'm like, there's no Tony here. There's no party here. I don't know what you guys want, but it ain't going to happen tonight, kind of a thing, And when I got kind of aggressive with them, the girl in the hoodie turned. She was looking up at the guy, and she turned and looked at me, and as she looked at me, black eyes. She was the epitome of what you would think of as a black-eyed kid. And somebody has mentioned to me since I've written the book and talked about this a number of times, somebody mentioned something to me that I never thought of. But she had said that maybe the black-eyed girl, the black-eyed kid, was controlling them. And maybe the girl from a year before, and maybe the guy from this, 1 year later, they didn't even know that the girl was there. Maybe that guy didn't even know she was there. Maybe he just was being controlled. Maybe it was a spirit being controlled by the black-eyed kids. So I don't know if that's true. Sometimes your memory fails you on some of those experiences, but the facts that I remember was that they were asking for Tony, the same guy. They were saying there was a party. It seemed as if they were wanting to get inside the house to either get on the phone to call Tony, that type of a thing. What's your impression of that?
Well, first of all, when you're talking about that they are always children, and there's a reason for that. That's to gain trust. People trust children. You want to help children, and if they want to use the phone, you're going to probably allow a child to come in to do that. They also, though, will want to be invited in. So that's one good thing that you did, was not invite them in.
Why do they need invited in?
Pardon me?
Yeah, go ahead. My question was, why do they need invited in? I don't understand that.
I don't know. I've heard this many times before, though, that there's something about opening a door for them or inviting them in. And also, I remember, you have to refresh my memory on this, because I only remember a little bit, you telling me something about when the girl was at your door, there was something unusual about the height or where she was standing. Remember that? Because you had a little platform in front of your door, and you said it wasn't making sense how tall she was.
Right, right. She Yeah, she wasn't standing on the platform because she would have been just a couple of feet from me. She was actually on the sidewalk right before the platform, but she was like eye to eye to me. So, and thinking back on it, I often wonder, because I didn't at the time, I didn't know, I didn't think to do these things. But at the time, I don't remember her legs. I don't remember her shoes, you know? So I don't know if she was floating. I don't know. That's just, I want to know.
Because you're a very tall guy. You're a very tall guy. And I remember you saying that she wasn't up at the door. She was on the sidewalk, but she was eye to eye with you. I thought that to be very, very odd because you're a very, very tall guy. And you're standing in your house, which would have been higher.
Right.
So,
it would have been at least three inches higher because I was in the house too, from over the stoop. Yeah, there's so many so many questions that remain unanswered about that whole scenario.
And I wonder what the name Tony, I wonder if there's some significance in that name. And I don't know. Doing any research and looking at any past people that have lived there have been named Tony.
Well, Cheryl, you did a lot of research into, you know, who lived at the house prior and who owned the property prior. And I remember, if it wasn't just me and you, it was at least me, you, and Tina. We were looking through all of the census records for anybody that was like that, Anthony, Tony, Antonio, all of those things. And there was just nobody coming up.
Right.
Yeah.
But that's interesting that he was the – that name was brought up more than once, though.
Yeah, and it's one of those unanswered mysteries still about the house.
Yeah.
There's just no way of knowing now. You know, who the hell is Tony? I don't know. Weird.
Yeah, and a good person to have as a guest on your show would be David Weatherly, who wrote his book on the Black Eyed Children.
Yeah, well,
he knows
one day
a lot
I'm going to
have it.
Yeah, I'm going to have to ask him to be on the show one time because we've got to get some answers still to these black-eyed kids. Because one of my questions still is, I've only heard of them being children. I've never heard of them controlling somebody or controlling like another spirit. And I've also heard that they're more alien in nature as opposed to spiritual or ghostly in nature. So it doesn't seem like there was aliens at my house. Maybe they were, I don't know. But so why would black-eyed kids come up to my house? And that the strange one that actually had black eyes, for some reason, she was not interested in me at the beginning. She only looked at that guy. And the guy looked just as human as you and I. I mean, he had no black eyes. He just looked like he was ready to go to a party, you know? But he was asking those same questions. You know, is Tony here? Tony told me to be here. No, I'm positive. This is the house. This is exactly where Tony told me to meet up. We were going to have a party. It's the same thing that the lady a year prior was saying. So I need to find out if there's another story or if there's another somebody else who's had a similar type of black-eyed child story like mine, or maybe mine is not black-eyed kids. Maybe that was just some demon child who had black eyes. I don't know, but it still creeps me out. Cheryl, I've got to know something, and I think you know a little bit about this. I've been seeing repeating numbers a lot. Like today, I swear to God, I saw today when I was out, I saw 222. I did not see 333, but then I saw 444. And then I swear to God, I was thinking about it. For some reason, I'm in my vehicle and I'm thinking it's close to five. And so I grab my phone and in my brain, I'm thinking, I bet you anything, it's going to be 555. I turn my phone on and boom. 555. You would not believe it. I swear to God, I'm seeing repeating numbers all the time. And while I was living at that house, that haunted house, I often got woke up at 3:33 in the morning. Whether it was something kicking at my bed, or I heard a noise, or there was shuffling going on in the house, or my phone would go off and it would beep. Back then, you know, phones weren't as smart as they are now, but back then I had this simple phone and it would beep. It would go beep, beep, beep whenever I had a voicemail. And then I'd have to, you know, I'd pick up my phone and I'd look at it. It'd say, "You one new voicemail." And so I'd hit the voicemail button and I'd go to my voicemail, and then it would say, "You have no voicemail." But something was like waking me up, or it was manipulating my phone, always at around 3:33 in the morning. And now here I am. I'm two and a half, 3 hours away from wherever that haunted house was, and I'm seeing repeating numbers again: 111, 1111. Sometimes I'll see 1212, or I'll see 1234. Weird stuff like that, you know. So there's something paranormal about that. I gotta believe, right? So first off, is there anything important that I need to know about repeating numbers? Am I going to be hit by a semi truck, or is something going to explode in my house? You know, why in the hell do I get woke up at 3:33 in the morning, Cheryl? What's going on?
Well, I've been doing a little research on the numbers, and I know like the 1111, some people say that is your guardian angel trying to get your attention. And I know I've heard that the witching hour is supposed to be 12 midnight, but the dead of night is 3 o'clock in the morning. So, and they say more paranormal things happen between the hours of 3 and maybe 6 in the morning.
Why would they happen at those hours? That doesn't make any sense to me.
Well, that is, like I say, the dead of the night. That is the apex of the night. The opposite of it's basically before dawn, darkest before the dawn. And I guess that is when the negative entities and the spirits are maybe their strongest. I mean, everything is a theory. That's the one thing. There's no textbook about anything. And you can look at different sources and they can have different opinions on things. But maybe a couple times you wake up at 3:33 and it's almost like it's imprinted in your brain. Everybody has an internal clock too. And once you are woken up about the same time every night, it happens. It's easier and easier to do that every night. Mm-hmm. I mean, just wake up. I've been waking up at 4:30.
Mm-hmm.
And for no reason. But one night I woke up at 4:30, and then the next one night I woke up at 4:30, and it's almost like you get in a rut.
Yeah, right. Well, somebody told me that. Yeah, go ahead.
Well, I don't know if there's anything to it. Maybe there is someone trying to get in touch with you, and that's the time that they are the strongest. But I haven't found any definitive answer.
Right.
But you know, there has to be something, because a lot of people have that happen. And I also read somewhere else where people see a lot of the double digits, like the 222 and the 1234. Sometimes when you are glancing at a clock, those are the kind of numbers that are really kind of sticking your mind.
Mm-hmm.
And your eyes are more drawn to the double digits and everything like that. So there's a lot of different theories floating around.
Yeah.
But
I know that I was told that, and I don't know what the truth is behind this, but I was told that Jesus Christ died. He actually had his last breath at 3:30 in the afternoon. And so somebody was surmising that, like, if you wanted to be the opposite of Jesus or opposite of Christianity, that would be 3:30 at night. But in my mind, it doesn't make – I mean, I guess on the surface, you can say, oh, yeah, that sounds like that's the demon hour, because Jesus died at 3:30 in the 3:30 p.m. Well, 3:30 a.m. would be like the demon hour. But in my mind, you know, here I am over here in north of Fort Wayne, and I get woke up at 3:30 in the morning. It's not 3:30 in Jerusalem at that time, see? So in my mind, that doesn't make a whole lot of sense, but I can see how people can make those correlations. Have you ever heard of that before?
Well, first of all, how would they even know that for sure?
Right.
How would they know what time Jesus died? I mean, there's a lot of theories, like I say. People make up a lot of theories that sound really good. That doesn't wash with me.
Yeah, well, that's all we have are theories.
Exactly, and I'm kind of a skeptic when it comes to different kind of things, and I do my research. And like I say, with the numbers, there's just a lot of different theories.
Mm-hmm.
But maybe when at the 3:33, maybe that's the time when, for you, maybe that's the time that whoever or whatever is trying to get in touch with you, they feel their energy is the strongest.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, right. Well, that makes more sense than a lot of things, sure.
Kind of playing into that a little bit. The founder of ITAR, Jason Snyder, my partner in crime, actually had a really good theory on why things could happen later at night. And the way he described it to me was, think of being like in a bar filled with smoke and people are moving and you can see, you know, the smoke is, you know, traveling and twisting. And then when it's shut down, it kind of levels out. It stops moving. And you have to think of the energy field like the smoke. You know, nobody's up at 3 a.m. except for us crazy people. And it could be easier for, you know, the spirits to gather energy at that time.
Yeah, there's not a lot of commotion.
Settled.
Right.
Yeah.
And I think you're going to also notice them a lot more during those times because it's quiet. You don't have the hustle and bustle of the world around you. You don't have cars moving and TVs on and kids screaming. So you're more aware of your surroundings if you are awake during those hours.
Mm-hmm.
I have a question for you, Tina. Can you explain to me who the Pukey Man is or the Pukey Man?
It's Pukey.
Pukey. Oh, God, I can't even imagine how it got that name. All right, what's the story behind that?
Okay, we were investigating at Al's house. There was always an entity that was very, very strong there, and everyone saw him. He would be always standing usually in the dining room area of the house. He was a tall man. He wore a hat. I seen him every time I was there. Other people saw him. But when he would it's hard to explain to people without sounding crazy, but when he would try to telepathically speak to me, I would ignore him and block him because he was kind of trying to intimidate people when you were there. But one night we were there and I was sitting on the couch, Al was on the love seat, Cheryl was standing in the, like between like the kitchen and dining room area. He was there. The guy was there. He came forward to me and he was in front of me, and I finally opened up my mind to him and I said, okay, what do you want? And when he went to speak to me, it sounded like he was puking.
Oh, God.
And when
it
was really gravelly, it made no sense to me. And I closed him off instantly, and I said, I'm not going to listen to you. And I closed him off. When I did that, he retreated back to the dining room very, very quickly. And I knew I pissed this person off, this thing off. I knew I pissed it off. I wasn't saying a word about any of this going on to Cheryl or Al. And when I did that, I thought, okay, maybe I should tell him what happened because the guy, it's mad. I have this thing mad. But before I could, Cheryl's purse lifted off the table and slammed on the floor. And all saw that happen.
Yeah. I mean, I was literally, you know, I was sitting, you know, on the couch, and I was watching. I can see Cheryl standing in the dining room, and I can see the dining room window, and it was faced out to my backyard. And I was just kind of, it was really dark, but the moon was out, and I could see things out in the backyard. And so I was just kind of looking out the window, right? And then all of a sudden, right exactly where I was looking, I saw Cheryl's purse levitate off of the table, and then I can see it like silhouetted into the window. And then it just got thrown down. It hit the table, it hit the chair, and then it hit the wall and hit the floor. So, and I'm like, what the hell? Did you guys just see that? Did you see that? And for a moment, I thought it must have been my cat. And I was like, Tina, that was my cat. That was my cat. It couldn't have been Tina's purse. I mean, Cheryl's purse. And you were like, no, it could. It was not the cat, because you, if I remember right, you saw the cat in the family room, in the window in
yes.
the family room, in the other room.
He was laying in the window.
Mm-hmm. He was laying in the window, so it couldn't have been the cat. And Cheryl, you were standing right there. And what
yeah,
was
but
your
I had,
experience?
I had my... Go ahead.
No, I just wanted to see, you know, what was your experience there? What was going on?
Well, I had my back to the window. But I heard that commotion behind me, and I thought it was the cat, too. And you and Tina both were, you said, wow, did you see that? And I, you know, what? And then that's when you guys said my purse lifted up. And I was really shocked to hear that because my purse was not, it's not a light purse. I had a bunch of stuff in there. And it was, I mean, it took some weight to pick that up. But I thought for sure it was the cat.
It was not the cat. I was where I was saying I could see the cat in the window in the opposite room.
Mm-hmm. And how many times, Tina, did you see that pukey man? Because I think that was one of the entities at the house that you and other people experienced like far more than I did. I may have seen him one time, but I wasn't sure if it was the pukey man. I just remember seeing a man with a tall hat. And he looked like he was like a pirate, I guess, a little bit. He kind of dressed like a pirate from Pirates of the Caribbean a little bit. But I saw him like just a brief second when a flash went off. But you experienced him a bunch. Who was this guy?
Yeah, I don't know. He definitely was the strong force there, I believe. And I saw him almost every time I was there. And, yeah, he did look like that. He looked like he was dressed like a pirate. That's exactly what he looked like. But
yeah,
we had other people that we brought to your home and that were just guests with us that also saw him.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, he's definitely a strange thing. And I kind of want to go back to the little girl because the pirate guy or the pukey man, maybe he was, you know, you relate him as the driving force a little bit around the house, or at least the main force. Maybe he was the shadow person that we would see. That was one form he would take. Maybe he was the black mass. Maybe that was another form he would take. Maybe he was the mongoose that, you know, on the floor, creeping along the floor that Cheryl
right.
saw. But, There's a theory floating around, and you touched on this earlier, that's been told to me on a number of different occasions, that oftentimes evil spirits will take the form of innocence, like a little girl. And so many people, I can't tell you, it's almost, I don't like to use the word, but it's almost irritating to me because I hear so many people tell me that there was just pure evil in that house. And I'm not sure if there was pure evil. There could have been evil. There could have been malevolent. I think the better word would be like malevolent, something that was more dark. I don't know about evil, but the theory is that evil spirits can take the form of innocence like a little girl, like that little girl I saw. What's your theory on that? And do you think that possibly the little girl that appeared at the house was she the spirit of a deceased girl, or was she an evil spirit or a malevolent spirit?
I think that she was the spirit of a little girl. And you may disagree. I don't know, Cheryl, but I just know that the guy that we're talking about, you said that he could be taking on different forms. I think absolutely you're right, because whatever was talking to me that night was not human.
Mm-hmm.
I thought it was the spirit of a little girl too, because I that first time when I went in there and felt that spot.
Mm-hmm.
And that was one of my favorite spots in your house, around that dining room area. I thought that I saw the little girl, and in fact, I saw her, not with my eyes, but with my mind.
Mm-hmm.
And she had a dress on, and she had, I think it was blondish hair. I can't remember what kind of dress she had on, but I saw her, and you know. Mm-hmm. So I agree with Tina.
I vividly remember her when, you know, like the story I told about the flash and then she appeared. I vividly remember that. It's almost as if, hold on one second. What a terrible thing to do, to cough on the radio. But I remember so many details about that moment. It's almost as if she's like etched in my brain now. I remember her dress. I remember how it was a yellow dress with white lace. And I remember that it was short sleeved. And I remember that it was like poofy, like the sleeves were like a little poofy, you know?
That's what I remember too. That's how I remember her too.
Yeah, and so I have that vision of her, and you have that vision of her. But there's another vision of her that I have. Excuse me. I have this vision of her. The second time that she appeared to me, I was laying in my bed in my bedroom, and all kinds of things are going on in the bedroom. There's like crawling and scurrying across the floor, you know, on one side of the bed. There's noises and bangings going on. There's just a lot of activity going on in the bedroom. And I remember laying on my left side, and I'm thinking to myself, I'm kind of mad. And I'm thinking to myself, man, this is just irritating. And something blew in my ear, like you would blow, like you would have, like a little girl would blow in your ear, like, you know, that soft breath, like, whew, felt it in my ear. And I turned and I looked, and there she was at the foot of my bed. She was moving from the wall on the right across the foot of my bed, and about halfway across the bed, she turned and she looked at me, and she had the vision of like pure evil in her eyes, and she just kept her stare on me until she went out the door, which was on the left side of the room. But what I remember about that was she was not wearing that pretty yellow dress. It did not have a pure white little lacy collar, and her hair was not clean blonde hair. She was wearing a gray dress, and she had dark long stringy hair. And I don't want to believe that was the little girl that I saw in the little that I saw in the yellow dress. I want to believe that little girl is innocent, and then she's just doing whatever she's doing in the afterlife. And the poor girl, you know, I feel bonded to her. I'm actually, that's the main character in the new book, Awaken the Feeders. That's my little Lily Mae that I saw. But the girl at the foot of my bed that other night, that was evil. That was not her. And so I wonder if the thing in the house, whether it be the pukey man, or whether it be the black mass, or whether it be the evil things that crawled around on the floor with large toenails, and you can hear them clicking on the hardwood floor, that they were taking on the vision that they pulled from my brain. And they wanted to be innocent but creepy, or maybe they wanted to show themselves as innocent, but it didn't work because they're not innocent. They are evil. Maybe they are malevolent, and they couldn't make that innocent appearance of like the little girl. Does that make any sense to you guys?
It makes sense to me, because when I think about the guy, the pukey guy that was there, there's something off about him because he was not human. So he didn't get it quite right. Okay, he wants to take the form of a human, but he's dressed like a freaking pirate. You know what I'm saying? Like, he just couldn't pull it off all the way, you know? So this is the form he takes on. It could be the same thing. Maybe he's taken on the form of the little girl spirit that really was there because he knew that she had your trust. He knew that you did have a bond with her.
Mm-hmm.
He knew she was that innocent little girl, and she kind of trapped there at your house. So what a better way to wake you up, you know, and get your attention, but to be her. But guess what? He couldn't get it right.
Yeah.
Because he never walked in human form. So it isn't, they're off a little bit. Does that make sense?
Yeah, yeah, it does.
They can't get it.
Yeah.
What would you, I mean, there's got to be other people out there who are in a situation like this where they're in this house and they have these things going on and they don't know, you know, I mean, what do you tell people that are in a situation like that? Like, you can't, what can people do?
Well, first of all, I think you find a good paranormal team to help you out. Help you investigate, and if you need to be validated, you need somebody to validate you so that you don't think you're crazy. And I think you need to take ownership of your house. And you just kind of, you have to be kind of firm. Try not to let them see you're afraid. And you just have to be firm and stand your ground.
And where are you in your life? You know, are you a depressed person? Are you attracting these things to you? You know, you can do that. You can be a beacon. You know, turn to your faith. Get yourself well. Be aware of your surroundings and reach out to the people that can help you, because there's help out there. And it's not just in the form of a paranormal investigative team. There's knowledgeable people that can help you.
Yeah, I think that's really good advice, because I think in my situation at the time of my life, the life that I was living at that time was a very depressed life and a very sick life. I was very sick with my diabetes and other things, and plus going through the divorce and not being able to see my children as often as I had when I was married and they were living at the house. Now I'm living alone, isolated from them, not getting the same affection and love that I was getting before. And so that made me a very depressed person. It made me a very antisocial person. And then my sickness kept bringing me down. And so I think that's really, really good advice. You've got to get yourself healthy mentally, physically.
Yes. It came a point to you, with you, you know, we used to go and just investigate your house, but you know, there was a point where it all changed and it became about, we had to get the focus off of you, and that was the only way that this was going to get better, is get that focus off of you. And to do that, you had to change some things, and we had to get you well, and we had to get your mind well. And, you know, it's not just about leaving, because if you're going to leave a house and you're still in that state of mind, guess what?
Mm-hmm.
Other things are going to find you.
Mm-hmm.
If you're still giving off that kind of energy,
mm-hmm.
that's what they do. That's why they're feeders. They're feeding on it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah, I remember, I don't know who said this. I don't remember if it was you, Tina, or it could have been Cheryl. But at some point, there came a time at some point when you guys no longer set up equipment. You no longer put down your recorders in all the rooms. I guess towards the end you did, just because it was kind of interesting. But the focus was no longer on the spirits. And somebody somewhere said the living is more important than the dead. And that stuck with me all these years. That's really stuck with me because that's the difference between a great paranormal group that's not so great. That's the difference between people who are out just seeking excitement and entertainment and those who are actually seeking to help people who are struggling with the haunting, like I was struggling with. So at some point, your guys' focus changed from we don't really care about getting evidence. We get evidence every time we come here. I mean, we see all kinds of things every time we come to the house. It's no longer important to us. Now what the focus is, our focus is not on what's dead in the house. The focus is on what's dying in the house, and that was me. And so you guys made that change, and the living is more important to the dead. And I tell people who are in the paranormal field, and people I've had opportunities at book signings in various places and on radio shows or whatever, I've had opportunities to tell people that if you're only interested in being in the paranormal field because you want to see a ghost or a shadow or you want to get an EVP, there are a lot of paid locations that you can go to. There are a lot of places you can go. Waverly Hills, the Rhodes Hotel. I mean, you guys know more of them than I do. There are places you can go where you can enjoy that. And it's okay. There's nothing wrong with that. But the place you should never go, if that's all you want, is to a house that's haunted and there's living people there being affected emotionally, spiritually, and physically. Because you just don't know what you're getting yourself into. There's a lot of creepy stuff in the paranormal field. Yet you guys tell me, what's some of the creepiest things that's ever happened to you personally? Because I know you guys go out to all kinds of different locations, you know, and I've heard people that get touched, you know, like by like maybe a perverted ghost in like a no-no place or whatever. Has that ever happened to you? Have you ever been somewhere where you just were face to face with a pervert ghost or an ugly ghost? Or what's the craziest, weirdest thing that's ever happened to you?
I have. Well, okay, I know Samantha's probably sitting there laughing because she was part of that.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I have. I've had a crazy thing happen to me like that, unfortunately. and it's on video, too. But, we were at an investigation at the Rose Hotel. Sam was there, and I had a crazy experience. So I wish we had more time. I would probably tell more of the story, but I know that there's some people that's already heard it. But, yeah, when you investigate, you got to remember where you are sometimes because some weird shit happens.
Hey, Cheryl, what's some of the craziest things that's ever happened to you?
Well, I was at an investigation, and I was in a room. This is at Willow's Weep, actually. And I was in a empty room, and there was only one other person with me. And it sounded like a sonic boom went off in the middle of the room. There was nothing. I mean, this room, there was no furniture in there. Nothing to make that noise. But all of a sudden, there was a loud noise, and then everybody runs in. Everybody runs in the room, and they think something happened to me. Mm. And I had a cross put on me.
Oh, really?
And yes, and I had to leave. I had to leave and go outside. That was a very freaky thing to have happen. And I had that happen another place when we went to investigate in Warsaw. And you were there.
Mm-hmm.
And do you remember that loud noise? When I was in there and everybody was...
No, I guess I don't remember the loud noise. You talking about the haunted house that we were at?
Yes.
It was actually part of the haunting show?
Yeah, I don't think you were with us. I don't think you were with us at that one, no.
Oh. Yeah, I've had that happen several times at different places where I will be the only one inside, and then all of a sudden there will be like like a ton weight was just dropped on the floor, and then people rush in because they think I've fallen or something, but I have no explanation for that other than I have a theory that maybe a vortex opened up and that loud noise was kind of like a sonic boom kind of a noise. But that's just my theory. It may not be true, but.
Yeah. Well, we're over time a little bit, but I have to ask both of you because this is very important to me. This doesn't have to even be about the paranormal. It's just about your guys' life maybe in the paranormal or a lesson that you learned. I like to ask everybody I like hearing people's stories about something that they just know. Something they just know to be true, an important lesson or a fact of life or valuable information that, you know, we who may not have walked in your shoes, you know, we may not fully understand, but you know, and I love asking people this question. So I want to ask both of you, Tina, what is something that you just know that you just have to let people know about?
Something that I like to let everyone know about when I meet them is that when you're talking about human spirits, you gotta think about that they were human, because I remember when I first met you, Al, and you were going to interview me, and you asked me a question, and you said, why are they here? Why would they come back? And I said they would come back because they come back for the things that they love.
Mm-hmm.
You know, isn't that the lesson that we think we're all here for? And
right.
You're here for love, right? You're going to learn what love is. So, you know, if it was my dad, he would come back to check on his car. If it was me, I'd come back to check on my children. You know, so whatever you love is probably what you would, if you are able to, because we all don't know, you would come back to check on.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm not afraid to die. You know, I'm afraid to leave.
Right.
So I just like everybody to always remember that when they're investigating. Sure, you have different things, but when we're talking about human spirits, they're protective of the things that they love.
Right, yeah. That makes a lot of sense.
And that explains a lot of why we have different things and different activity going on.
Yeah. Cheryl, you answer the same thing. What's something that you just have to let people know that you just know, and it's a lesson or a fact, valuable information? What do you have?
Well, I think you follow your intuition. Trust your instincts. Everybody has that little voice inside of them that tells them, you know, if they're in a situation and it doesn't feel right, trust it. Go along with it, because it may be your spirit guides or your guardian angel talking to you. Heed that, because I've been in situations where I've felt like, you know, I shouldn't be there. But you do it anyhow.
Mm-hmm.
So trust your instincts. Trust yourself. That's the main thing.
That's very important stuff. And Samantha, you and I hadn't gone over this, but let's these final questions, if you're looking at your sheet there. I ask everybody the same questions. I'm kind of keeping a tally, trying to figure out what the percentages are and what people are thinking of. And so, Samantha, I'll ask the first one of them, and then you ask the second one, and we'll go down through these questions together. So first, we'll just start with Cheryl. Cheryl, you answer this question, and then Tina, you answer it. These are the same questions I ask everybody that comes onto the show. And the first thing is, Cheryl, are there aliens visiting our planet?
Definitely. I believe so. I wholeheartedly. I've never seen them, but I believe them.
Okay. Well, what about you, Tina? Are there aliens visiting our planet?
Yes.
Well, you know that.
I know there are.
You know that for sure, don't you?
Yes, I do, because I've seen a UFO. I had a close encounter with one, so yes. I didn't see the alien, though, but I'm assuming that's what was driving the damn thing.
Right. Something had to be, right?
Okay. Does Bigfoot live in Indiana?
Cheryl,
maybe in southern Indiana. Maybe in southern Indiana. Mm. But I don't know. That's iffy. I don't know.
If I can be convinced of Bigfoot, then yes.
Hold on. So if you are convinced that there are Bigfoots, then you say that they would be in Indiana.
Yeah, why not? Yes.
Why not? Okay. Well, Cheryl, who killed JFK?
It was probably a conspiracy of maybe the Russians. Blame the Russians, because a lot of people blame the Russians on a lot of stuff.
Well, right now we're blaming the Russians on everything, even Trump's election, right?
Yeah.
So it's, the Russians did it. What about you,
Jim?
What about you, Tina? Who killed JFK?
The person that pulled the trigger.
Oh, Lord. That is a cop-out. You probably don't even know about any of the theories behind it, huh? That's why you said that.
Yeah, I've heard a few. I think I even heard one from you before.
Yeah, I got a few of theories about JFK for sure.
Yeah.
All right. Next question. Did we actually land men on the moon?
Yes, I believe so. I totally believe so, because I was, about 14 or 15, and I actually saw the moon landing on TV. And I believe everything I see on TV. But I believe we did. I totally believe it.
All right.
I think that they totally convinced us that we did.
Right. That's what I believe. I think they faked it. I don't believe we were ever on the moon. And I can go on and on and on and on about this, because I have really studied. I know it. This is an exhausting amount of information I got about it. Cheryl, I have in my life, I've accumulated a shit list. Now it's a haunt list. Will you haunt somebody after you die?
No, I don't think so. I would like to maybe just hang around and be there if they need me, but I'm not going to actually haunt anybody. Hmm. I'll be their guardian angel.
All right, yeah. What about you, Tina? You got a haunt list going on?
Fuck yes, I do.
I know it. I do. And my list gets longer every day.
I would love to visit the people that I love. I won't haunt them, but I do have a haunt list. Yes.
Yep.
And like you, it grows every day.
Mm-hmm. Samantha.
Yep.
Got the last question. Ask him the last one here.
You all do the paranormal convention circuit. Tell everybody what you have coming up, where they can meet you, buy your books and products, and get some autographs.
I'll let you go first.
I don't know. Okay. I will start then. First of all, I just want to tell everybody they can catch our episodes on the reruns, Destination America, YouTube channel. Our episodes are Eternal Grief and Fear Feeders, of course. June 9th and 10th, we're going to have an exclusive open house. It's kind of in the works right now. If you want on the guest list, contact me. It's going to be a free event. It's going to be held on Friday and Saturday night in Fort Wayne. There will be more details that I can send to people as they're is coming forward. June 23rd through the 25th, Jackie and I will be in Rome, Tennessee, for the Mountain Gypsies Gathering Intensified. July 21st through the 23rd, we'll be in Louisville, Kentucky for Mid-South Paranormal Convention. And in September on the 16th, we'll be at Post Town for the Non-Con to the free paranormal meet and greet there. Also, they can visit my website for my book, Living in the Shadows of Paranormal, at TinaHicksReynolds.com, and find me on Instagram, Facebook. And Cheryl?
I have a book in the works called The Orchard. Hopefully it will be out maybe towards the end of the year. So keep watch on that.
Well, I am so thankful that you guys are in my life, that you've helped me through a terrible time. I consider you guys definitely my friends, and I'm so excited that you guys got a lot of things, fun stuff coming up in your lives with books and conventions and stuff like that. I think that's awesome because, like I like to tell people, that I have experienced what I believe is the worst in the paranormal field, and I think I've also experienced the best in the paranormal field, and that was you guys and how you treated me and what you've done for me. So thank you so much, Tina and Cheryl, for being on the show tonight, and hopefully you guys can come back and we can revisit some fun stuff and talk about some fun stuff. So just thank you for being on the show tonight.
Thank you Al.
Yeah, and Samantha, thanks again for being on as my special co-host, and I'm excited about all the pictures you've been sending me, and we're going to have those available in our book, The Awaken the Feeders, and you've been awesome tonight. I love having you as a part of the Awaken the Feeders, so thank you for being on the show tonight, too.
Hey, thank you. It's been fantastic.
Off the Air Radio Show is now off the air. Thank you to my guests. Thank you to my sponsors. Thank you to my listeners. And to my two beautiful children, Carter and Reagan. If you're ever lost, I will never stop looking for you.